happy to be able to present our next speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. Before I make the introduction, this is for the ladies, an announcement for ladies. Hare Krishna. Monday, 12th, will be the annual Vaishnavi ministry meeting. It begins in the community center at 5:30 until 7:30, and all ladies are cordially invited. So this wonderful devotees sitting here probably classically needs no introduction, because if you've seen the Hare Krishna movie by Yadubar and Vishaka, then you are going to instantly recognize her. But I would just like to mention a couple snippets about her background. She was a young 16-year-old girl who wandered into the San Francisco storefront temple in 1968 and never looked back. And she was given the name by Srila Prabhupada, Rukmini Devi Dasi. She had a lengthy list of services within ISKCON, and she served ISKCON also by becoming an accomplished, successful businesswoman and financing incredible projects within ISKCON, notably taking care of the young Gurukulis during a very difficult time. And then Krishna said, okay, you've done enough. And he freed her from those obligations, and now she is proving herself to be a first-class world preacher. Rukmini Devi Dasi Ki Jai.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Jaya Gopi Janaballabha Giri Paradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare Jaya Radha Padaya Panchatattva Jaya Panchatattva Jaya Panchatattva Panchatattva Jaya Panchatattva Jaya Nrisimha Dev, Jaya Nrisimha Dev, Jaya Nrisimha Dev, Jaya Nrisimha Dev, Nrisimha Dev, Jaya Nrisimha Dev, Jaya Nrisimha Dev, Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Ananta Lila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Paramansa Pari Prajakacharya Astutara Satishishiman Shila Abhay Charanara Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Lila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Paramansa Pari Prajakacharya Astutara Satishishiman Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishna Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premsakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shishi Radha Krishna Gogopinath Sham Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govar Dana Ki Jai. Shri Mathura Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Shri Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Book Distribution Ki Jai, Shri Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Narayanam Namaskritya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Vim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udhirayet. Jayam Udhirayet. Nasta Praeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, the residents of Jambudweep offer prayers, text number 9. This is Prahlad Maharaj speaking. Svasyastu visvasya kalo prasidatam. Svasyastu visvasya kalo prasidatam. Svasyastu visvasya kalo prasidatam. Dhyanyanta bhutani shivam mito dhya. Dhyanyanta bhutani shivam mito dhya. Dhyanyanta bhutani shivam mito dhya. Manascha bhadram bhajata radhoksaje. Manascha bhadram bhajata radhoksaje. Manascha bhadram bhajata radhoksaje. Aveshatam no matirapya hoituki. Aveshatam no matirapya hoituki. Ave shatam no matirapya hoituki.
Ave shatam no matirapya hoituki.
Please chant.
Dastu vishvasya kalo prasidatam. Jayam tu bhutani shivam mitoliya.
Vaishnavis,
sastu visvasya kalo prasidatam, jayantu bhutani shivam mitoriya. Manascha bhadram bhajata dhanopsaje. Aveshatam no matirapya hoituki. Sasyastu visvasya kalo prasidatam. Jayantu bhutani shivam mitoriya. Manascha bhadram bhajata dhanopsaje. Aveshatam no matirapya hoituki. Asyastu visvasya kalo prasidatam. Jayantu bhutani shivam mitoriya. Manascha bhadram bhajata dhanopsaje. Aveshatam no matirapya hoituki.
Svasyasti.
Auspiciousness.
Astu.
Let there be.
Visvasya.
Of the entire universe.
Kala.
The envious.
Almost everyone.
Prasidatam.
Let them be pacified.
Jayantu.
Let them consider.
Bhutani.
All the living entities.
Shivam.
Auspiciousness.
Mitak.
Mutual.
Diya.
By their intelligence.
Manak.
The mind.
Cha.
And
bhadram,
calmness.
Bhajatar,
let it experience.
Adhoksaje,
in the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
who is beyond the perception of mind,
intelligence and senses.
Aveshyatam.
Let it be absorbed.
Nap,
our.
Mati,
intelligence.
Api,
indeed.
Ahaituki,
without any motive.
Translation. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of him. Please repeat. May there be good fortune throughout the universe.
May there be good fortune throughout the universe.
And may all envious persons be pacified.
May all living entities become calm
by practicing bhakti yoga.
For by accepting devotional service,
they will think of each other's welfare.
Therefore, let us all engage
in the service of the Supreme Transcendence.
Lord Sri Krishna,
and always remain absorbed in thought of him. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The following verse describes a Vaishnava. Vanchakalpataru vyascha kripa shindu bayavacha pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask anything for himself. Rather, he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava, who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy, parama nirmatsaranam. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, kalak prasiditam, may all the envious persons be pacified. The material world is full of envious persons, but if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy, manascha bhadram bhajatad adhoksaje. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrsingadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahir Nrsingha, Hridaye Nrsingha. Let Lord Nrsingadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all of my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine purport in this regard. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from him. Even pure nishkama devotees pray for some benediction, as instructed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sri Shikshastakam. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram, patitam mam vishame bhavam buddho, kripaya tava parapankaja, stitaduli sadrusham vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from the ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. In another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, Mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahaitaki tvayi. Life after life, kindly let me have unalloyed love and devotion at your lordship's lotus feet. When Prahlad Maharaj chants, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, which is the previous verse, just before this verse in the Bhagavatam, he prays for a benediction from the Lord,
But because he is also an exalted Vaishnava, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. The first desire expressed in his prayer is Svasyastu Visvasya, let there be good fortune throughout the universe. Prahlad Maharaj thus requested the Lord to be merciful to everyone, including his father, a most envious person. According to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living beings. One is a snake, and the other is the man like Hiranyakashipu, who is by nature envious of everyone, even of his father or son. Hiranyakashipu was envious of his little son Prahlad, but Prahlad Maharaj asked a benediction for the benefit of his father. Hiranyakashipu was very envious of devotees, but Prahlad wished that his father and other demons like him would give up their envious nature by the grace of the Lord and stop harassing the devotees. Kalo prasiditam. The difficulty is that the kalo, envious living entity, is rarely pacified. One kind of kala, the snake, can be pacified simply by mantras or by the action of a particular herb, mantra shadi vasa sarpa kalakena nivaryate. An envious person, however, cannot be pacified by any means. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if, by the grace of Krishna, everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays, Shivam mito diya. In material activities, everyone is envious of others, but in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle by being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Bhajatad adhoksaje. As indicated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Savayamana Krishna Padaravindayo, and as advised by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 18:65, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto. One should constantly think of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then one's mind will certainly be cleansed, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. Materialists always think of sense gratification, but Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be all right. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in that way, the whole universe would be vacated because everyone would go back home, back to Godhead. However, Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this is impossible because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living entities is actually delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, another set will fill the entire universe. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Shaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangolangayate Girim Yatkripastamahang Bande Shri Gurundinatarinam Vansha kalpataru vyascha kripa shindu vayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you all so much. I wanted to particularly begin by thanking all the devotees of Mayapur, the devotees who've established this wonderful project, the wonderful educational programs that are going on, the wonderful chakra ceremony, the wonderful Mayapur Academy. For me, it's really overwhelming. I was here from 1972 to 1974, and we were on the order of Srila Prabhupada making and breaking, as he said, clay dolls, sitting in his bhajan kutir all day. And from there, we could see the whole Mayapur. There was no buildings, there was nothing but rice fields. And Srila Prabhupada was crying that the devotees weren't getting any milk. Just imagine his compassion. So being here now is really quite overwhelming for me, so I'm very grateful to all of you for all that you've done here. There are many exalted Vaishnavas in this room, and so I will try to offer a few words of glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you could please bless me, I will try to pick up a few little spoonfuls with my little beak to try to offer to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you all so much. In this leadership, international leadership sangha that's going on, they are discussing 8 qualities of leaders. And I thought I would speak about the first one, which is that leaders require culture and values for maintaining purity. So I thought this verse from Prahlad Maharaj seemed very appropriate. We all need role models like Prahlad Maharaj, like Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj is one of the greatest voices of Srimad Bhagavatam. He's not just another face of Srimad Bhagavatam. He's a very important acharya for us all. When I first became a devotee, Srila Prabhupada was reading with great relish from the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj in Montreal, and Lord Chaitanya also used to take great pleasure in hearing the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj is praying that the envious persons will be pacified. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of him. So this confidential knowledge, it's described in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita 1867, the verse says, Idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na chaksu shru sabe vachyam na chamam yo vyasuyati. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me, Sri Krishna Bhagavan says. And also in the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is quoted in this purport, Dharma prochita kaitravota parama nirmatsaranam. That verse says that this confidential knowledge is only meant for those who are 100% pure in heart. It cannot be explained or understood by those who are envious. Right? Bhagavatam kicks out all cheating religion. And this confidential knowledge cannot be explained by those who are outside, right? But Prahlad Maharaj is creating an intervention. He is creating an intercession by his prayer
people like us gain access. Prahlad Maharaj is showing leadership by seeing beyond friends, enemies, and those who are fit and those who are not fit, just like the Panchatattva. They had no prejudgment. They had no prejudice. Who is fit? Who is unfit? They were beyond duality in their giving of Krishna consciousness. So without this intervention of pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, like Prahlad Maharaj, we have people like us, as it said in the purport, most people are envious. We have no access. So the Vaishnava is meant to fulfill the desires of everyone, praying for the welfare of the entire universe. How beautiful. The Vaishnavas are praying not just for myself, but praying for the welfare of the whole universe, praying that envious persons will be pacified. This is so exemplary. To practice bhakti yoga and to think of each other's welfare. It's described that the six Goswamis of Vrindavan were very beloved by all people. They were loved. They were beloved by the gentle and by the ruffians. Dira, dira, janapriyo, right? Those who were dira and those who were not dira, everyone loved them. So they were seeing beyond the external differences of the body. They were encouraging to everyone. This was not a judgmental love. Real visionary leaders like Srila Prabhupada, like Prahlad Maharaj, like the Goswamis, they were encouraging to all. I recently heard a story about a disciple of Srila Prabhupada who was keeping a dog. And one very nice brahmachari asked him, "You're a disciple of Prabhupada, why are you keeping a dog?" And he said, "Because I need just one person in my life to love me non-judgmentally. Just one person I need to love me like that." So, how sad is that, right? That our judgment is so strong amidst each other, that a disciple of Prabhupada has to look to a dog for affection because he's apparently not finding it in the Vaishnava community. He's not finding non-judgmental love in our community. So, in the lower stages of realization, there's competition, there's rivalry, there's judgmentalism. But these visionary leaders, like Srila Prabhupada, they envision a competitionless society with God in the center. And as it said in the purport, this beautiful line, if the Krishna consciousness movement spreads and people accept it, the thinking of envious people will change, right? So it begins with ourselves, right? Being able to project and realize ourselves and project it to others, that non-judgmental love. Prahlad Maharaj is our guru. Srila Prabhupada is our guru, praying for the blessings of all living beings, not just for myself. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 15, verses 163 to 165. Lord Chaitanya is saying to Vasudev Dutt, his beloved Vasudev Dutt, he's saying to him, "You are an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj." And what was the prayer of Vasudev Dutt? Why was Lord Chaitanya saying this to him? The prayer of Vasudev Dutt, he came to Lord Chaitanya and he said, "Let me suffer perpetually in the hellish conditions of life and accept all sinful reactions of the living beings. Please," he's praying to Lord Chaitanya, "please finish their diseased material life and give them all your mercy. Give the sins to me and give them your blessing." So this is the compassion of a visionary change agent type of a leader. And because of this prayer, Lord Chaitanya told Vasudev Dutt, he said, "I am yours." He told all the devotees, "I belong to Vasudev Dutt because of his prayer. He can buy or sell me. I am his."
right? So this is the character of a true devotee, a true leader. A true leader has to be self-effulgent in his or her character. The ordinary people, the gentle and the ruffians, should be able to observe this self-effulgent character of a Vaishnava. So Srila Prabhupada, in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, in the mood of Vasudev Dutt, just envision it. He's standing in Boston Harbor, right? 1965. Standing in Boston Harbor. He's standing there. He's taking our pulse. He's taking our pulse. And he's seeing that the people here in this place are covered by nature's modes of passion and ignorance. How will I make them understand? And he's begging to Krishna, just like a beggar, he's standing there, begging Krishna to show us his mercy and to that these envious persons, all of us, who are covered by nature's lower modes of nature, will be able to have access, will be able to understand. Because Prabhupada brought his books, right? He brought the first three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, but there was no audience, right? When someone writes a book, they think, well, who is your audience? Srila Prabhupada had no audience for his books. So he had to create that audience by praying that our hearts would become pacified by practicing bhakti yoga, right? So by his intervention, by his intercession, the chain of our innumerable cycle of innumerable births and deaths has been broken by the great mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada created our good qualities. He created our access to the beautiful process, the beautiful blessings of bhakti yoga. I want to tell you another story from Boston to illustrate this point about how a devotee's character should be self-effulgent. This must have been in about 1969, and we were all, our little band of devotees, we were on Harinam Sankirtan in downtown Boston. And there was a devotee who was leading the chanting, and all of a sudden a man came up to our party and came right up to the man who was singing and started punching him in the stomach. And so then what happened was the police came and arrested him, and then this case actually went to court. So when this man was before the judge, he explained that he had been attacked by these strange people, these Hare Krishna devotees. He had been attacked, and that's why he was just fighting back for his life. So the judge, who was just an ordinary judge, right? He looked at this person, the accuser, and he looked at the man, the devotee who was being accused. He looked at his character. He saw how gentle he was. And the judge just looks up in the courtroom and he says, but how is it possible of this man? You know, this gentle man, you're accusing he started beating you. And the judge says, but how is it possible of this man? So my point is that the devotee's character should be self-effulgent. We should not be seen in the world as those people who are always ready to fight, always ready to criticize, always ready to judge, outsiders or each other, right? So this this consciousness is very high. The supreme, an elevated Vaishnava, pure devotee, leader, sees the Supreme Lord as the substance distinguished from the shadow, and that everything that emanates from that one substance, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, it's just relative emanations, different forms of energy. And just like when we turn our back to the sun, we see the shadow. We see a shadow of our body when we turn our backs to the sun, right? So in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, second chapter, verse 28, purport, Srila Prabhupada says that a devotee can actually see that there is only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no second entity. Ekam evad vityam.
There is only the Lord who presents himself in different energies. So this is the transcendental consciousness of a pure devotee. This is the, you could say, sublime, all-encompassing cosmic consciousness of a pure devotee. That kind of non-dual transformed thinking of such visionary Krishna conscious leaders realizes the transformative power of devotional service and the power of developing a taste for Krishna Katha, developing a taste for the hearing of Krishna's pastimes, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. So there's a story from 1972. Srila Prabhupada was giving a series of lectures in the courtyard of the Radha Damodar temple. It's called the Nectar of Devotion Lectures. You can listen to them. And in one of these lectures, Srila Prabhupada was speaking very strongly. He was saying, in Vrindavan there are many exalted persons. But he said they were not able to get the taste for Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. They were not able to get that ruchi, that taste for Vasudeva Katha. He was saying, so therefore, their so-called preaching has not been able to inculcate a taste in the people in general. Srila Prabhupada said, it is not the fault of the people. It is the fault of the so-called preachers. And he was explaining, if we don't get a taste for this Vasudeva Katha, the pastimes of Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, if we don't get a taste, then our preaching will simply be imitation, and it will not be effective. Such powerful words from Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes leaders we see in Krishna consciousness, they think in terms of my man, me, us, our group versus others, our project, their project. We're seeing he's my man, they're not my man. Seeing with a prejudging, with a prejudice, who is a fit candidate, who's not fit to be in my group. But if we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that all the disciples of so many different gurus were all serving together. They were all dancing in ecstasy together. They were serving and dancing and worshiping Krishna all together, not in a sectarian way, not in a divisive way of my man, my group thinking. So I want to share with you a very interesting story about a very simple Vaishnavi. Her name was Bhumi Devi. And her daughter is here today. She's sitting right here in the front row. And this lady, Bhuma Devi, she's deceased now, but she was just a simple Christian lady, a very devout Christian lady living in Cleveland, Ohio. Not a very affluent person. But she was given a copy of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And she immediately, because of her own spiritual power, she realized that this was the absolute truth. And she decided that she would become a devotee. So she was reading that book. She went home. She had a pack of kids. She shaved her son's heads, put tilak on them. And they were all trying to become devotees. But the temple president was not thinking in this broad way. He was prejudging them. He was prejudiced against them. And he said, no, you're troublemakers. You can't come to the temple. Only initiated people can shave their heads and wear tilak. You can't come around here. And he didn't let them come to the temple. So what to do? This lady, Bhumi Devi, she had so much faith. She packed all her kids in the car. Her pregnant daughter, her daughter, Krishna Nandini, was pregnant at the time. They all got in the car. And the mother had no idea where she was going. They were all sitting in the car, and she began to pray, Krishna, help us, where should we go? We don't know where to go. We just want to become your devotees. And they prayed, and they decided, Dallas, Texas. So they drove their car, with many adventures on the way, to Dallas, Texas. And meanwhile, the temple president from Cleveland had been calling all the temples, these people are troublemakers, don't let them in, they're troublemakers. And thinking in this very small-minded sectarian way.
So when they got to Dallas, the temple president had already heard about them. And he said, well, they said, well, we just drove all the way from Cleveland, Ohio, and we have nowhere to go, and we have these babies with us, and please let us stay. And so he said, all right, well, you can stay, but just for one night, because Srila Prabhupada's coming tomorrow. So they knew in their hearts that everything was going to be all right because Srila Prabhupada was coming tomorrow. So when then this case was put before Srila Prabhupada, Bhumi Devi was sitting outside Prabhupada's room wanting to hear from him some instruction, what would he tell her to do. And Srila Prabhupada said, Krishnanandini heard this many years later, that Srila Prabhupada said to his secretaries that wherever I see a tiny spark of Krishna consciousness, I like to fan that spark. So the very next day, they were all initiated. Srila Prabhupada initiated them. And years later, Krishnanandini was telling me the other day that she saw this temple president somewhere else, and he was from Cleveland, and he was apologizing, please forgive me, please forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. And she said, no, if you hadn't done that, we would have never met Srila Prabhupada. So, yeah. So this sectarian thinking, right, as opposed to broad-minded thinking. So Srila Prabhupada's guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he said, let me not desire anything but the highest good, even for my worst enemies. What a high consciousness is. This is a real leader, all you leaders out there. All devotees are leaders, right? We should try to come to this consciousness. And who is the real enemy? Does anyone want to say, who is our real enemy? Somebody raise your hand. Yes. Our false pride. Someone else. Monica. Our mind, someone else. False ego, right? Yes. Our weaknesses. These are the enemies are within, right? And what does Raghunath Das Goswami say in his Manasiksha? He says, this gang of six, they're the dacoits hanging out on the road, right? They are the enemies. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, right? These are the enemies. So these enemies are sitting inside of us. We don't have to look outside, Prabhus. We have to look inside, right, for the real enemies. So I wanted to tell you another story. There's a story. This is, I hope you'll forgive me, this is a story from the American Civil War. In Fredericksburg, Virginia, there's a statue from the American Civil War. It's called there was one soldier, and the statue is called the Angel of Marie's Heights. And what the story is behind this soldier is that here all the fighting is going on, right? The Confederates are shooting the Union, and the Union's fighting the Confederates. They're all shooting each other, and there's bullets flying in the middle of the battlefield. In the middle of the battlefield, there's so many dead soldiers, so many soldiers who are dying of thirst. And this one soldier, he had this Christ-like spiritual epiphany, and he just walked out into the middle of the battlefield in the midst of all the shooting, and he began giving water to the men on both sides. And everyone was so amazed and shocked that all the shooting stopped. All the shooting stopped, and both sides of the war were just standing there in amazement, watching this saint, really, giving water to the men on both sides. So this is the consciousness of a saint. This is the deep consciousness of a saint. We have another example, the great Russian devotees who were trying to distribute books under the Soviet regime. They were praying to the super soul within the hearts of the KGB. They were praying to the super soul within the hearts of those who were trying to stop them. There's one story I heard that there were many boxes of books that they needed to load into a van, and somehow there were what they called militiamen. There were a bunch of soldiers standing there. And these were Prabhupada's books. It was very clandestine, right? And so
because they were praying in such a deep way to the super soul in the hearts of their so-called enemies. One of them said, "Hey, you're all a bunch of young guys. What are you doing just standing around there doing nothing? Help us put these boxes in this van. Come on." No, so the very soldiers who were their so-called enemies were helping them load all these boxes of Srila Prabhupada's books into the van, right? Yeah, so I think I have time for another story. There's a beautiful story we heard when we were just in Tirupati. We had a wonderful visit to ISKCON Tirupati. I highly recommend you go there and visit. And we heard a story about a humble Babaji. He was from North India. He was a devotee of Ram. Initially, he was called Ram Baba. But he wanted to have the darshan of Balaji at Tirupati. So he walked all the way to South India. And he came to have darshan of the great Balaji, Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. But when he got there, the Brahmins in charge were a bit sectarian. And they were looking at him. They didn't know, what's your caste? Who are you? Where do you come from? Somebody from North India? Who is this guy? So they didn't give him, they didn't allow him to come in. They didn't allow him to have darshan. So he just went and he was sitting by himself, doing his bhajan, praying to Krishna, praying to Ram. And then what happened was, because they wouldn't let him into the temple, every night the deity of Balaji used to come to him. And Balaji asked him, he said, "Let's play some games. Do you know any games?" And this Baba said, "No, I only know bhajan." And so Balaji said, "No, no bhajan. I want to play games." So Balaji taught him how to play. I think in America it's called Parcheesi, that game that the Pandavas play, that cross board that you see in the pictures of the Pandavas with the dice game. So Balaji taught him how to play that game. Every night they would play that game. The deity ran out of the temple and he's playing with this devotee. So then finally what happened was one night it was getting late and Balaji was hearing the Suprabhatam, which is the beautiful prayers of wake-up prayers that they sing. They play every morning at Tirupati. And he said, "Oh no, I'm late. I gotta run." So Balaji ran really fast and accidentally, or maybe on purpose, he left his beautiful diamond necklace behind and he ran to the temple. So this humble devotee, he saw that the Lord had left his diamond necklace. So he obediently carried the diamond necklace all the way to the deity room, and then meanwhile the deities open, Balaji opens, and all the pujaris notice, "Oh, the diamond necklace is gone. Someone has somehow stolen the diamond necklace of Balaji." And they're running all around, "Chor, chor, chor, someone has stolen the necklace of the Lord." They're running all around. So meanwhile, up comes this little Babaji with the diamond necklace, and the head mahant of the temple says, "Ah, you are the thief. You have stolen the Lord's necklace." And he says, "No, actually, the Lord was playing with me. We were playing games all night. He comes every night. And when he was running away to go back for the Mangal Arti, he left his necklace behind." "Ha! You're a liar and a thief." And so the head mahant said, "This is how we're going to punish you. This is going to be your punishment." He said, "We are going to lock you in a room all night. And that room is going to be filled to the ceiling with sugar cane. And if that sugar cane is still there tomorrow morning, you are finished." And they put him in this room with all the sugar cane up to the ceiling and locked the door. And so he thought, he was just praying to Krishna, and he thought, "Now I'm finished." And so what happened was, during the night, Balaji came in the form of an elephant. And he came and he ate all that sugar cane. How could an elephant get in the small door, right? And he got in and he ate all the sugar cane, and some people saw there's an elephant in there, but how did an elephant get in there? Anyway, they opened the door in the morning, all the sugar cane was gone, and the head mahant of the temple realized that he'd made a great mistake, a great offense. And so he offered his obeisances, his dandavats to this simple devotee. And he was such an exemplary leader, this mahant, that he said, "Now, I step down from my position. I am unqualified. You will now be the head Mahant of this temple. And he made him the head Mahant, and he was in charge of the Balaji temple for many, many years after that. And as a matter of fact, they offer every morning, they offer rock candy and fresh butter to Balaji. And this was instituted by that Rama Baba, whose name became Hati Ram Baba because of the elephant. So, yeah, that's a really great story. So, in conclusion, I wanted to say that real leaders must have values in order to maintain purity, right? And C.S. Lewis, the great Christian writer, says that if a man's self is not kept clean and bright, his glimpse of God will be blurred, just like seeing the moon through a dirty telescope. Just imagine. If we don't follow principles, our vision will be blurred and we won't be able to see ourselves, the world, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So thank you all so very much. Thank you. Thank you. I think we have maybe a minute or two for some comments or questions, if anyone has any comments or questions. Sorry? Obviously, he loved Krishna also, right? Ram and Krishna, none different, right? Yes. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for this wonderful lessons for me, especially about compassion. Question is like this, that the heart is so strong and it is so hard that compassion doesn't come on others. I can easily forgive myself after mistake, after mistake, after mistake. But for others, even a little bit, even if they touch, then it says, oh, who is this to do? So how can I develop this mood of compassion? Not only for others, but as you say, for our own selves also.
Yeah. So this is one of those how do we type questions that we always get at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam class. So the whole process of that Prabhupada's given us is to evoke these higher sentiments in us, chanting the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. What does the verse say that we chant at the beginning of Bhagavatam class? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We have to, just like regular drops of water will wear away stone, we have to regularly be hearing, we have to regularly be praying. And when we're desperate, just put it in your Anjali and beg Prabhupada, beg your Guru Maharaj, beg the deities, beg Nisringadev. You know, it was said in the purport, if we want to be free from material desires, pray to Lord Nisringadev to evoke that compassion in us. We can pray to Prahlad Maharaj, let me follow you. You're such a great leader. How can I also follow in your footsteps? Just pray like anything. And if we pray very sincerely, Prabhupada was praying like anything. He was praying to Advaita Acharya. He was praying to the Goswamis. He was praying to his Guru Maharaj. Please give me the blessings that I can execute this mission. So if we're complacent, Krishna can also be a little detached, you know? I like to quote, I met a man, I said to him, have you thought about exploring your relationship with God? And he said, my relationship with God is fine. I don't bother him, he doesn't bother me. So we can have that complacency in Krishna consciousness that, you know, we can have our, like Lakshman made that circle around Sita, famous as the Lakshman Rekha, right? Don't cross this line, Sita, and you'll be protected. So we can also say to Krishna, okay, I have my non-negotiable material desires, Krishna. Don't cross that line. You know? Some things I'll do, but I can't. Certain things I can't do. So just don't cross that line. Or we can beg and cry. It's up to us, right? Which we can decide. What do we want? Yes. Another question? Yes. This will be the last question.
Hare Krishna. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita said that in your last breath, I'm the one who will come pick up you and bring you back home back to God. So if Krishna is God, with love and compassion for the human beings, He's going Himself bring us back home back to God in your last breath. Who are we to judge someone?
So true. So. How beautiful. Who are we to judge anyone if Krishna Himself says, you know, so many people have left Krishna consciousness. How do we know what they'll be thinking, what they'll be crying at the time of death, right? Even people who've never been devotees, the stories of devotees and their parents. I mean, have you ever heard stories of the parents of devotees leaving this world and the mercy they get? People who've never practiced Krishna consciousness, people who are not vegetarians, people who, so much mercy. So Krishna is so mystical, so merciful. Thank you so much.
Just on that note, I work in a hospital. I was taking care of a 10-year-old boy who happened to go into cardiac arrest. I was doing CPR on him, and I have Prabhupada as my ringtone on my telephone chanting Hare Krishna. So about 4 minutes into the cardiac arrest, my wife calls me on the phone, and Prabhupada, I'm pushing on it, and Prabhupada's in my pocket chanting right into this boy's ear. Uh-huh. And he didn't survive, he passed away. Wow. And there's Indian doctors who work at the hospital that I work at, and afterwards, after we all cleaned up, I was walking out of the room and he came up behind me and he said, that was amazing that your guru came to him just as he was leaving his body.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to technology used in the proper way. Thank you all so much.
Hare Krishna. Jai Nishinadeva.